armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to save
idea?
The pump cup. Really, this is you what you're doing? This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. This is must be what folks feel like on Christmas Eve, because I cannot wait until tomorrow. Let's go, Braves!
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
With a crew under his
head. Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Wyatt, I am rolling. And if you know, you know. The Braves start tomorrow. We cannot wait to bring it to you. It is and I love where it landed to. 6:07, first pitch, let's get it. Pre-game show. Want to give an update on pre-game shows during the postseason. We will come on live 1 hour before first pitch. And that will bring in your pregame show. Then we'll step aside and do the typical lineups and the Church of Baseball and all that lead in. But we will come in. So tomorrow, to make it simple, or I gotta come on it. 5:07. We're going to come on at 5 o'clock Eastern, and we're going to give you the pregame show, and it'll be a one-hour pregame show, and then we'll kind of dance our way into game number one, and it looks like it'll be, hopefully, a good game for the Braves. We're going to do the Braves stuff in the second hour of the show. I am going to hit up a little football right now. Then we're going to go with the Once Upon a Pastime series, which is coming up here in a few minutes. We're going to talk about the Negro Leagues, and then we are going to come back and talk about your Atlanta Braves taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. That'll be this hour number two today. So, a lot to get into and a little time to do it. We are going to, in hour number two, we're going to go through the entire series, and it'll be our launch for, so most of y'all know that we already simulcast on YouTube, and now there is stuff that we only send to WQEE that we do not send to YouTube, so you kind of need to follow both. But today's show, 4 o'clock Eastern, will be the debut of us being on what is being launched as the PSF app, Pro Sports Fans. And there's a number of folks behind that, and they reached out. They found us. They really liked the Braves Country stuff. And so, short story long, we're going to debut today on there, and we are going to, we'll explain to everybody on YouTube how to get there and whatnot, but we're looking forward to that. And that's not the only time we're going to be on there, but it's our launch today, so we're going to be on there pretty regularly, along with simulcasting on Braves Country Radio on YouTube, and of course, here on WQEE. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the lines, the gambling lines. We're going to do that for a little bit before we go heading into Once Upon a Pastime series in the Negro Leagues. All right. First of all, you got to look at the series prices. And these are the series prices going in. We'll hit Braves first. It's minus 184. Not a ton of value on it, but at least you're not sitting where, for instance, the Dodgers, minus 245. That's a terrible return. If you take that and they somehow get upset, you've really spit the bit. If I were going to take the Dodgers to win their series, I would probably parlay it with something else. Houston is minus 162 and Baltimore is minus 130. Now, they have the lowest odds, probably just because they don't have the playoff pedigree of the last several years. Because Baltimore had the best second best record in baseball, so it's not like they're a bunch of chumps. I do like the Baltimore series price, minus 130. I like that one a lot. What I would probably suggest, if you're wanting to parlay it, I would say the safest bet would be to take Houston on the parlay series price and do it with the Dodgers. And if you do that, it's going to come off to a plus. Right now it's coming out to a plus 128. Now look, if you're swinging for the fences and you're looking for an upset, Diamondbacks are plus 200, Phillies are plus 152, Minnesota's plus 136, Rangers plus 108. My opinion, the only one that actually has a very good return would be the Phillies, because the Phillies have a puncher's chance. They beat the Braves last year. I still think the Braves are a better team, but they did beat them last year. Braves just didn't show up. And you look at the other series prices, I mean, you don't get much of a return picking Texas, and they should be huge underdogs. You don't get a very good return taking Minnesota when you realize that their top two pitchers won't pitch in the first game, and most likely they'll be down one game to none. You get a good return on Arizona, but at the same token, what are the chances Arizona is going to go in and beat the Dodgers? The Dodgers have wiped the floor with Arizona for a long, long time. So if I'm taking any of them, and I'm just Joe Schmo, who's not a fan of anybody, the one with the best value underdog is Philly at plus 152. I'm not taking any of the underdogs, to be honest with you. What I'm probably going to do is I'm probably going to take the Braves. I'm probably going to do a combination of, well, I'm going to take the Braves. I'm going to take Baltimore straight up. I love the Baltimore one. Minus 130. Now, the only thing that concerns me is that this is their first rodeo. And are their bats going to be alive going into that series? But Texas has been very up and down. I can't bet on Texas. The other thing would be you take Houston and you take the Dodgers on a parlay. I'm not loving. Now you can really get into the weeds of it and start taking games, game and a half, all that kind of stuff. We're not going to get into that today because I do want to jump into the football. So let's go ahead, go into the football side of it. And you don't have a lot of books that have tomorrow's game lines pitchers, but they're estimating who the pitcher is. It's most likely Spencer Strider. He's minus 210, and I would say it's probably going to be Ranger Suarez, though we don't know for sure. I'm not willing to do the run line because Suarez has pitched very well against the Braves. I do believe Strider's going to go out there and be phenomenal. I do believe Atlanta's going to win the game. Man, I could see it being a close one. And I'm not giving up a run and a half. I'm just not. Not in the first game of the series we haven't played in 5 days. All right, let's get into the football, and then we'll dive back into the baseball here in a little bit. Football lines for tonight. There are games tonight. And this is why Tampa Tone's not with us today. He got tickets to go to Illinois, Nebraska, and I told him, go have fun. So he's going to the Illinois-Nebraska game. Nebraska is actually getting 3 points. It's an interesting one. I'm personally staying away from this one, but it is an interesting spot right there. The one that I really like that I'm intrigued with, but I haven't had time to do a deep dive on for tonight's game. I probably won't have enough time. Probably just going to punt it. Oklahoma State at home getting 11.5 points. That's a lot. Now, I know Oklahoma State's had a rough go of it, and they're going up against some injuries and whatnot. But 11.5 points at home in college football on a Friday night, that's a big ask. Anyways, we go past that because I really want to get into the more interesting spreads of the weekend. You've got, okay, first of all, the early kickoffs. Texas giving up 5 to Oklahoma. I'm going to put it this way. This Red River rivalry, sometimes it does come down to a field goal. But more times than not, in my lifetime, I've looked forward to this big matchup, and it has fallen short. It's been a blowout one way or the other. So I've been impressed with Texas. I think Texas is going to be ready to rock. I think Oklahoma has been kind of winning. First of all, they haven't played anyone of consequence. They've been winning not very impressively. They've had a couple of games that they've blown the opponent out in, but I'm talking about being impressive top to bottom. Give me Texas minus the 5. If you want them on the money line, it's minus 210. Other early games that you may want to pay attention to, maybe get some juice going on it. First one that we'll dive into. This is an interesting one. North Carolina giving up 9.5 against Syracuse. They're at home. Syracuse looked good so far, but this happened last year. Remember Syracuse was they were undefeated. I think they were 6-0, and then they got into the meat of their schedule and ended up being a fraud. I have a hard time taking Syracuse. I don't know if I'm going to go North Carolina. I could do something very, very lazy and take North Carolina on the money line and then do a parlay with something. But I'm not loving taking Syracuse. I almost feel like that they're trying to trick you here, because you've got, anytime you see those numbers right there, where you're like, man, if I just buy a point and take Syracuse, I'm good to go. Well, they're just talking you into spending more money so that when you lose, as opposed to losing $100, you'll lose $120, $130. So I've got to see Syracuse up against a legit program before I go diving into Syracuse. Florida State giving up 24 to Virginia Tech. That's a big number, but once again, this is only Florida State's second home game this year. They had the week off, and I think they're going to be rolling. 24, that's a big one. I'd probably tease it down, but the number I do like is that Florida State right now is a 37.5 is the over. I think Florida State gets 38 or more. I really do. Some books were at 38.5 earlier in the week, and it's come down to 37.5, so you might want to pounce on it. But I don't see how Virginia Tech's going to keep Florida State from scoring 45, 50 points. I mean, they put, 66 up on Southern Miss, and they pulled everyone midway through the third quarter. This team can score in bunches. Clemson is a 21-point favorite at home against Wake Forest. Yeah, Clemson's a good team, but this smells like a game where Wake Forest gets a backdoor cover. I'm staying away from it. Kansas at home against Central Florida, 2.5-point favorite. I like the Jayhawks, Rock Chalk Jayhawks. We'll grab a couple more, and then we'll dive into the National Football League. One that I like for sure, Florida at home against Vanderbilt. This is a get-right game. They're giving up 18. They will smoke Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is terrible this year. And it's in Gainesville. Florida plays much better in the swamp. Georgia, Kentucky. Everybody wants to know about that one. You're going to give me 14.5 points in the Kentucky Wildcats, who have looked pretty good. In Georgia, though, they were finally challenged last week, and it was a rough game. But they did answer the bell. People can say what they want, but they answered the bell. I think 14.5 is just a touch too high. So I'd be willing to grab Kentucky. It does make me nervous, that 14.5 number. Usually, they're trying to trick you. What they're telling you is that their books is saying that the Georgia just happens to be 14.5-point favorite. Their books are probably showing something different. They're either showing it much below, and they want you to give them a little bit of a pad, or they're trying to trick you into taking Kentucky because they think Georgia's going to win by 4 touchdowns. Kentucky can run the ball, and that's going to be an interesting game. I also think that 47.5 might be a little too high. I believe that's going to be a low-scoring game. Anytime you can give me 14.5 points on an over-under that's only 47.5, I'm going to jump all over it. And real quick into the National Football League, we'll do many more of this tomorrow on the Armchair Quarterback Kickoff Show, but I did want to touch in, because we are talking about here in Atlanta, let's look at that Falcons line. They're a 2-point favorite at home against Houston. I don't love it, but what I do love is the over at 41.5. I think that's going to be a higher scoring game. And Jacksonville getting 5.5 against Buffalo. Jacksonville looks terrible. Buffalo looked really good. Overcorrection. Take the Jag and the points. Take the Jags and the points. This is their second week of being over there. 2 weeks in a row. It means they've had plenty of time to get used to their surroundings. Buffalo better be careful. We'll take one more here in the NFL, and we'll get much more into this tomorrow. Titans, 2.5-point favorite at the Colts. What? Titans, 2.5-point favorite at the Colts? I don't like that one at all. Give me the Colts plus 2.5. I'm probably going to buy the hook. Give me up to 3, 3.5. But I just, Titans on the road, they've been terrible this year. Terrible! And the Colts look like they have life. All right, we're going to step aside here for a second. We come back. Braves Country Today coming at you hot with the Braves Phillies preview.
You see a guy hit the ball out of the ballpark, grand slam home run to win a baseball game. And that same guy can come up tomorrow in that situation and miss the ball and lose the ball game. It can bring you up here, and don't get too damn cocky, because tomorrow it can bring you down there. See? But one thing about it, though, you know it always will be a tomorrow. You got me today, but I'm coming back.
Hour number two here on Braves Country Today. I'm going to see if I can get it fixed on the screen. But the short of it is, you see there where Saturday is 6:07, Monday is 6:07. They have released the other start times. So we're going to be off Tuesday, and then Wednesday, it's going to be 5:07, okay? 5:07 first pitch. And then Thursday and Saturday, this is if necessary, Thursday and Saturday, those will both be 6:07. So everything is going to be 6:07, right? But with that being said, Wednesday will be 5:07. I don't know why they did it that way. Seems like it's going to confuse the hell out of people. But Saturday, Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, all those 6:07 Eastern, Wednesday's 5:07. I know it's going to throw somebody off. Somebody's going to be late going to the game on Wednesday. You can book it. Or they'll be extremely early on Thursday because they'll get it mixed up. But those are in Philadelphia, and we'll worry about that if that happens, when that happens. We don't have the pitching rotations yet. Those get released tomorrow afternoon. Now we're gonna come on tomorrow 5:00. We'll come on with the live pregame show, and so we're gonna be doing live pregame shows for every game for the Atlanta Braves this postseason an hour before first pitch. So what you can bank on tomorrow will be the pregame show will come on at 5:00, Monday 5:00, Wednesday 4:00, Thursday 5:00, Saturday 5:00. So I know it's a lot to take on and to figure out, but don't worry, we'll continue to remind you. So with all that being said, Strider is expected to pitch tomorrow. Suarez is expected to pitch tomorrow. So it'll be Spencer Strider versus Ranger Suarez. Monday is expected to be Max Fried versus Zach Wheeler. So we're going to have Max Fried versus Zach Wheeler. It's going to be a showdown. We've not hit Wheeler well. And that's, look, I really think it's going to be key for the Atlanta Braves to hold serve at home, because it is a tough environment to go into Philadelphia and win. If we can win the first two in Atlanta, and we should, we've got the pitching to do it. We've got the hitting to do it. If we can do that, we're going to be okay. Because even if they if we go to back to Philadelphia and they win them both, they would still have to beat Spencer Strider in our building on Saturday night. So here's hoping that Spencer Strider is the good Spencer Strider and not the, it takes him 2, 3, 4 innings to really get rolling and find his way. There was this big write-up today where they were just talking about how he's become one of the best pitchers in baseball, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, strikeout-wise, you're right, but he still gives up a lot of runs early on in the game. And that's the only thing that I'm really concerned about. Other than that, if we can get him through that first bumpy part of the game, if he gets through the first, remember it happened last year. Now he was coming off the IL, but if he can get through the first 2 to 3 innings, the first time through the lineup, I think he'll settle down. He'll be fine, and I do believe it's going to be a little more of an advantage for him to be at home. But it was shaky when you saw him what he did last Saturday. You expected him to go out there firing bullets, and instead, the Washington Nationals slapped him around the first 2 or 3 innings. He finally settled down, pitched lights out the back half. You can't do that against the Phillies. You can do that against a lot of teams. You can't do it against the Phillies. And so, with that being said, I just don't think that there's any way that we can lose tomorrow and then expect, what are you going to expect, Max Fried to come off the IL and then what, A.J. Smith-Shawver to get rolling and then Strider, if he struggles tomorrow, pitch well in Philadelphia in Game 4? He's got to show up tomorrow. He's got to show up. He's got to be the guy. You know how we always give out game balls at the end of every broadcast, every play-by-play? He's got to be the guy we give the game ball to. Now, that's just one game, and we're going to talk about the whole series. But to me, that's going to be key. It's going to be Strider, Fried, question mark, Strider and Fried. Game 3 in Philadelphia on Wednesday. The big question is going to be, who's it going to be? That's going to be the big question. They haven't tipped their hand. Now, we'll probably be able to figure it out when the rosters get released, or maybe not. Maybe they're going to phantom IL somebody after the Monday game, and then they'll add the pitcher. So it really will depend on what we see going into Philadelphia that day, but this would be my guess. Well, this would be my hope, that we get A.J. Smith-Shawver Game 3 with a piggyback of Kyle Wright. My fear is they're going to run Bryce Elder back out there one more time. And he has just been atrocious the back half of the season. He's been absolutely awful. And against that Philadelphia lineup, you can't be going out there walking 3, 4, 5 guys in the first 3 or 4 innings. You can't do it. They will put the ball in the seats and adios, muchacho. And you don't. And in a 5-game series, you don't have that to play with. If we were in a 7-game series and we're up 2-0 and we go into Philadelphia, and you say, look, we want to see if Elder can do it, but we're going to have a quick hook. I can live with that a little bit. 5-game series, you don't have that luxury. And I believe that you can go in with AJ, have him know, dude, all gas, no brakes. Go out there, give us what you have, because we're going to come get you 3rd or 4th inning. We don't expect you, nor are we planning on having you go deep into the game, even if you're mowing them down, because we don't want that lineup to see you a 3rd time. We want to get you in there, and before the nerves can get to you, we can get you the hell out. Kyle Wright's done this before. Bring him in, and then you can really start bridging yourself towards the W. So that it's going to be key. It's going to be key. And I don't know how you sell it to the Braves fans. I don't know how you sell it to the clubhouse that Bryce Elder is the Game 3 pitcher. I see a lot of fans that react on social media, and the number one thing that they're saying is, well, he's deserved a chance to pitch Game 3. Horse hockey. Someone said it best. I saw on Twitter, someone said it best. It said, spoken like a man who has not watched the second half of the season. And amen to that. Because he has been atrocious. His ERA is over 5 since July. You can't send that into Philadelphia with their bats. They're too damn good. They're just too damn good. You got to go in. If you don't believe AJ can do it, that's fine. Give me Jesse Chavez one inning. We'll bridge it with Tonkin. But I can't watch Elder go out there and walk guys and try to get them to chase that sinker, and it's missing mightily. And, yeah, just right there, we got someone in the chat who doesn't know the Braves. He says, that's Bullocks. He deserved it. He deserves – no. You don't deserve. You don't deserve a chance. You earn it. He has not earned it. ERA over 5 the last 3 months? 3 months? ERA over 5? And his last outing, he walks 5? Jeez. It's the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity. Trying the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. He doesn't have the put-away stuff. That's the problem. And I would rather see, I know people cringe at the bullpen game, but I would rather see a bullpen game and have a guy go out there. Let's say if they say, man, the moment's too big for AJ. We can't do it. We can't do it. He's 20. What, have you lost your mind? Are you insane? We're not sending him out there to Philadelphia. Okay, that's fine. Then send a veteran out there like a Jesse Chavez, and he goes out there once through the lineup. Get him out. Kyle Wright, once, maybe 1.5 times through the lineup. Get him out. You can build that all the way through, because you're going to have Strider pitching on Thursday. And assuming everything is great, everything's grand, you can expect Strider to go, because he has done, the one thing Strider's done is, if you don't count the postseason game last year when he was coming straight off the IL, Spencer Strider's dominated the Philadelphia Phillies. He has dominated the Philadelphia Phillies. And it surprises the hell out of me, because I keep waiting for them to make the adjustments, and he blows them away. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they are a strikeout lineup. And so I think, look, we're going to have Ranger Suarez versus Spencer Strider in game 1, and most likely a replay of it in game 4. There's advantage Atlanta. The Wheeler versus Max Fried is a little, because Max Fried's coming off the IL, and I was able to watch some of the video of the live. They're not calling them practices, but they were basically practice games, and he pitched the first 2 innings without the Band-Aid on. Then he went back and pitched the rest of the game with the Band-Aid on. And at first everyone had pause, and they all freaked out, and they said, what the hell is this? Here we go again. And to get clarification, they said that he wanted to see if he could throw without the Band-Aid. And then he went back to the Band-Aid just to basically guard his finger about flaring it back up. So evidently everything is good to go. Evidently everything's good to go. If you've got a healthy Max Fried, and he threw 76 pitches. If you have a healthy Max Fried, you're going up against Wheeler, it's going to be a low scoring affair. And the key is going to be able to get into the bullpens. Remember something too. Game 1 and Game 2 and Game 3, they're all separated by days off, which means the managers can be as aggressive as they want. They can be absolutely aggressive as they want, because they have no way of, or that's all gas, no brakes. There's no reason why they cannot go in there and deploy their entire bullpen to get aggressive, to stay in a game, to save a lead because you don't have to worry about the next day. And for that matter, when you go from game three to game four, you got another day off. You really don't have to worry about it. What you do want to guard against, the biggest thing that I've seen covering the team the last 3 years, and you see it more up close, I guess, if you're doing it pitch by pitch and you see it, you're aware of it as a fan, but it really jumps out at you. You don't want to use your bullpen guys over and over and over again in a series because you don't want those guys, so we'll say a Bryce Harper, a JT Realmuto, a Bryson Stott, Kyle Schwarber, you don't want them to see a guy like Iglesias or Minter four times in a calendar week because the advantage goes to the hitter. Without a doubt, the advantage goes to the hitter. And so it becomes really difficult when you start looking at it and you're like, all right, we can hang around in here. We might have a chance. Or is Philly going to punt to the next day because they don't want us to see? Look, Philly's got a pretty solid bullpen. And the one thing they have on us, that the upper hand in the bullpen. All in all, I like the Braves bullpen much better than the Phillies bullpen. I just think it's just a notch above. But the one thing I will say, they've got three southpaws that they could deploy at any time that are pretty solid. Obviously, everybody knows about Alvarado, but Soto and Strom, you can bring those guys in, and you don't have a fear with it. Braves pretty much from the left-handed side of the plate, or the left-handed side of the mound, it's pretty much A.J. Minter. Yeah, you got Brad Hand, but he's not blowing anybody away. You bring Brad Hand in late in the game in a high-leverage situation, it's become desperado time. So I'm looking at this and seeing when you get those first two games down and you're like, all right, let's say we can get through game one unscathed. Let's say Strider goes out there and pitches six innings. Damn near shutout ball, which is going to be a tough task to do against that Philly offense. And let's say we can bridge it to Jimenez and Iglesias by some version of like a Pierce Johnson or Joe Jimenez, whoever they believe that the matchups favor. And then you're going to have that day off on Monday or Sunday going into Monday. And you can essentially do the same thing again. And if you get those first two W's, you can then get really aggressive in game three because at that point, kind of step on their neck. But if we're 1-1 or 0-2 heading into Philly, it's going to be flat-out panic time. Either way, any way you have it, I don't believe in Elder being on the bump. And I just, he doesn't have, he has, remember something too for Elder, this is the first time he's pitched this many innings. Last year, he came on late. And they shut him down. We thought about him being a possible option in the playoffs. And he wasn't missing the zone like he is now. But now it's at a thing now where you're like, okay, so not only are you asking him to pitch game three, but it's going to be in Philadelphia. And that place is going to be rocking no matter what the series is. You cannot send someone in there who is not capable of attacking the zone and is going to go out there pitch after pitch after pitch and just nibble and miss, nibble and miss. We've got the umpires for tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into the possible roster. Do they go 12 pitchers? Do they go 13? If you go 12, you could have a 14th batter. Do they go 13 and 13? Do they go 12 and 14? We'll talk about that, some of the options here on Braves Country today. We will be back in a flash on a TGI Friday. It is NLDS Eve. Let's get it.
You can't drink like me. You can't smoke like me. So don't try and be like me. Let's party together.
We live in a world now that welcomes and nurtures the screwball in all of us. Hey, it's a new decade, people. Time to get a little nutty. Treat yourself to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a smooth flavor that combines two of America's favorites, peanut butter and American whiskey. So no more social awkwardness. Time to embrace who you truly are. Get out there and make friends. And be sure it starts with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's available nearly everywhere. Learn more at screwballwhiskey.com. Infinium Spirits. Please enjoy responsibly.
What's going on here, guys?
All right, Coach. So basically, it was a holding call. But these dudes started me in their fantasy league, which is cool because this dude started our quarterback. But he started our kicker, and I started their defense. So it's kind of a pickle.
Compromising the integrity of this game with your fantasy football leagues? Listen to me. If there was holding, you make that holding call. I don't care if it was on our team or not. I care about this game too much to let you...
Coach, you started their defense too, didn't you?
Yeah, you definitely started their defense.
Damn right I did.
I'm Chair.
My grandfather was a sour old man, and I liked him. He lived with us. But he was out in the backyard throwing a ball when I was a little kid. He's smoking his pipe, and he said, you like baseball? And I said, yeah. He said, what do you play? And I said, I'm a shortstop. And he said, that's what I used to play. And I said, you used to play? About a year or so later, I found the local paper did a 50-year anniversary thing, and there was a reprint of a game that he had played in 1892, and it said Watts. His name was Fred Watts, shortstop, and he had two hits. And I thought, my grandfather played baseball in 1892. So it's part of existence. It's part of our heritage.
Updated time on there, but we did not. They have failed to update it, but that's okay. Once again, if you're just joining us, the Braves are going to play tomorrow night, 6:07. Monday night, 6:07. Wednesday night, 5:07. And Thursday night, 6:07. Saturday night, October 14th, 6:07. So every game 6:07 except for Wednesday, game 3, that starts an hour earlier. We will come on live with the pregame show for that hour and hour before first pitch and get you ready for Braves, Phillies, and then we'll give you a pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play right here on Braves Country Radio. Find us on YouTube today. Hope y'all are having a good Friday. Brian O'Hara right now is scheduled to be behind home plate. I'm a little surprised. Looking at his numbers, I went and did a deep dive, and I thought I'd remembered him being kind of a mid type of umpire, home plate umpire. He's okay. Like, that's the best way I can put it. He is okay. He's not anything great. He tends to have... His biggest thing is his accuracy as far as not calling pitches that are in the zone strikes and balls. So, by the way, was it Wednesday night's game? Marlins, Phillies. And we'd already complained about Sherwater in game one and then game two. The umpire that we got behind home plate was even worse. His numbers came out, and they were some of the worst I've seen all year long. And here's the funny thing. I'm sitting there. I'm steaming. I'm like, man, we're going to end up with some of this crap when we hit the playoffs, when it's our turn to play. And with all that being said, all you can think of as a fan is, my God, how is this going to screw us over? Because, look, I'm not saying that's why the Marlins lost the series. I'm saying that it didn't help their terrible offense to do any good, right? The Marlins offense is junk, and we all know it's junk. But what little chance they had, there were times that they got bad calls that really basically threw a monkey wrench into the whole situation. There were times where they were building momentum and these terrible calls. So last night I was watching a replay. It just happened to be on one of these streaming devices. And I was watching a replay of the 2004 NLDS between the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros. And for you kids out there, yes, Houston used to be in the National League. But it was Roy Oswalt, and he was on the mound, and I'm sitting there watching it, and the biggest thing that kept coming back to me was, man, there were some bad calls back then too, but the difference is we didn't have that box over the screen. And when that box is over the screen, it just, there's no longer any gray area for the fan to go, eh, maybe it was a strike, because it's sitting right in front of you and you can see it plain as day now. And with that being said, you can't put the toothpaste back in the bottle. So at this point, Major League Baseball has got to go to robo-umps. It's past due. I've been pounding the table about this for 2 years now that they need to go ahead and do it. I was on the fence about a year before that. Prior to, I kept saying, I don't like it. I like the human element. But because we're going to have the little boxes over the screen, the StatCast box and whatnot, and it's telling you whether that ball is a ball or a strike, it's not even fair for the umpires to not have it now, because they're sitting out there doing an incredibly hard job. And I know we think that we can sit here and do a better job. You can't. There's no way in hell you can get behind home plate and stand back there for 9 innings and call an accurate game. But these guys are professional, and you expect it out of them. You got to get that robo-ump back there, which basically just means there'll still be a human back there, but they will get some kind of an electronic signal that says, that's in the zone, that's not in the zone. You call it the way you want it, but we're trying to help you out. And if they don't go to that soon, the fans are going to continue to make the umpire's life a living hell. So that's it in a nutshell. When they put that box over the screen, it's been several years now. That changed the game. I mean, there were some calls in that game that I rewatched last night. Roy Oswalt was throwing this curveball that I'm telling you, it was swooping a foot out of the zone. And I tried to catch the umpire's name, but he's no longer in the league, so it's kind of a moot point. I went to jot it down, and then I looked it up. I was like, he's not even in the league, so it doesn't really matter. But this was just over 20 years ago. Oh, no, I'm sorry, right at 20 years ago. And I'm watching this, and Jamie Wright was the pitcher for the Braves, by the way, the one that started with the Indians and then ended up in Atlanta, and the Braves ended up losing that game. But I watched a good 3 innings of it before I fell asleep, and all I could think of that entire time I was watching it was, A, how fun was Rafael Furcal to watch? How fun was that guy? I missed that guy. B, Jamie Wright put on some damn LBs by the time he got to Atlanta, because I remember him as a very thin man throwing Game 7 for the Indians versus the Marlins. And C, man, the technology has changed us as fans, and you can't consume it the other way. I get ticked off when I see a broadcast and they don't have the box. So I'm like, where's it at? What are we doing? I forget one of them. I don't think it's ESPN. It's maybe Fox. One of them has a really faint box, and I'm not a big fan of that one either. I want the strike zone box over the screen, so I have an idea. And look, I know that if it hits the box or doesn't necessarily make it a strike, but you get a rough idea of where the zone is. Anyways, back to the rest of the story. The Braves will start tomorrow night. We've got game one, and it's Strider versus Suarez. We have okay. So here's the deal. I went back and watched the game which Suarez pitched against the Braves last year in the playoffs. I went back and watched the Suarez the last time we faced him this year in the playoffs, right? And both times, the Braves had opportunities to get to him. And especially last year in the postseason, they had him on the ropes and couldn't come through with the big hit. This team better come through with the big hit. This team better be able, if they've got him, runners on the corners, one out. This is not an offense where it's no longer acceptable for this offense to just go out there and ground out to second or ground to a double play and goes, well, we'll get him next time. But man, one thing's always been true about the Atlanta Braves in the playoffs. They were throwing the stats last night in that game five of the NLDS against Houston. And they were something like 4-for-26 of the runners in scoring position in the series. I was like, God bless. It's nice to have this offense that we have nowadays, but they better come through. They better come through. That's all I'm saying. See, Sean's in the chat talking about this weekend, some entertaining lines. It's college football. We'll talk college football tomorrow. And there are some good lines. There's some lines that I really like. Can't wait to dive into that tomorrow morning on the Armchair Quarterbacks Kickoff Show. But, man, have you seen the lines on the baseball series? These are interesting. These are really interesting because you've got Atlanta's minus 184. If you take Philly, they're plus 156 is what I saw last. And then Arizona is plus 200. I'm telling you, that's throwing your money away. They're not beating the Dodgers. Dodgers are minus 245. And if they did beat the Dodgers, I don't feel like 200 is enough. I just don't think 200 is enough to take the risk of Arizona going in facing the Dodgers in the NLDS and winning 3 of 5, and you're only getting plus 200 money. We don't know how it's all going to lay out, but I'd be willing to wager that if that's the case, just go game by game, and you're going to make more money that way. So with that particular series, the one that I like the best, and I played it just before we went on air today, man, Baltimore is minus 130 against Texas. Texas is plus, I mean, it's a very small plus. I forget what it is, but it's not much. Plus 115, somewhere in that neighborhood. The Orioles, the same team that has the best damn record in the American League. And Texas won't be able to throw their one or two guy until, Sunday. And they're minus 130. I mean, there is just absolutely no respect given to the Baltimore Orioles. And I get it. They're new to the playoffs. But so are the Texas Rangers. Let's not act like John Wetland's coming out of the damn bullpen. Let's not act like this is the Texas Rangers with Nelson Cruz out there in right field. I mean, it's a very disrespectful line when you look at the big picture. And there's no way I could go past it. So I went ahead and jumped on it. I did take the Braves because I'm just going just going to happen. Because if I'm going to be miserable, I might as well be miserable. I might as well be real damn miserable. If they're going to lose, I might as well be broke about it too, right? But looking at this series, and you look at what they can do with the overall, by the way, the other one, Minnesota's not getting a very good number to take them in a series either. I would say that you're better off taking them game by game. It was something low, plus 135, something like that. I was like, God bless. For Minnesota to go in and beat the Astros? And they're not even... The Astros, by the way, it's interesting. They're going with Verlander game one. I find that interesting. Because even though he's been good, I didn't know if that was the route they were going to go. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm pulling for Minnesota. There's no way in hell I would bet and only get that kind of return if they end up pulling up. It would be a huge upset. All right, the Braves roster. This is the way I have it playing out, and this is the way it looks. So, obviously, we know the starting lineup. We know it's going to be Acuna, Ozzie, Riley, Olsen, Ozuna, Arcia, Murphy. Tomorrow it'll probably be Pilar in left field because of the left-hander Suarez. And then, of course, Michael Harris is second. We know that. We know they're going to carry Travis d'Arnaud. We know Eddie Rosario is going to be the left-hander out in left field. We know Nicky Lopez can be put on the roster because even though he's not a great hitter, he gives you opportunity for base running. He can play defense anywhere in the infield, and he really gives you that extra weapon. I believe Forrest Wall is going to be on this team because Forrest Wall is one of the best base runners in all of baseball. You look at the metrics of it. He gets incredible jumps. There's a reason why Forrest Wall, when he slides into second or third, there's rarely a throw because the catcher's like, oh, to hell with it. It's not just his speed. He gets great jumps. And we've talked about this before. If you study Forrest Wall's base running and you see how he gets his jump compared to other base runners, he's got it down to a science. So I do believe he's going to be in there. I don't think they would have had him in there all this time to just all of a sudden don't put him on the roster. As far as the pitchers go, you know it's going to be Strider. You know it's going to be Max. Minter, Iglesias. We know they're going to be on there. And mark them off as I call them so I don't screw anything up here. You know you're going to get Jimenez, Jesse Chavez. I would think Hand. I'm not positive on Hand, but I do believe he will be on there just because you need a second left-hander. And Dylan Lee, it looks like he's gone, so what else are you going to do there? You never know. They could surprise the hell out of you and put someone on the roster that's been under the radar for a while. But I have to feel like the majority of the bullpen we see is what we've seen in the very recent days. Pierce Johnson, Yates, and then that's where it gets sticky. That's where it gets sticky. Now, if I'm building it, I'm putting A.J. Smith-Shawver and I'm putting Kyle Wright on there. And if you do that and you leave Elder off, because what you're essentially doing is you're using two pitchers for a start. They could, in that scenario, go with 14 pitchers. Because they're like, well, but I don't think they're going to do that. I think what they're going to do is they're going to go 13 because they're going to want the ability to run. And then if it gets really bad, let's say we get to game three, game four, and we've really had to blow out the bullpen, somebody's getting a phantom IL and they'll bring someone else out of the weeds to eat some innings. But outside of that, I do believe Tonkin's going to be on there. I know a lot of people have questions about Tonkin. I think Tonkin is absolutely going to be on there. I think Tonkin is a guy that, you know, has the he's got the stuff to come in, and we'll say he'll go two innings, one in one appearance. He might go one or two, maybe even three innings in another appearance. and do it that way. So I think Tonkin's going to be on. The guy that I wonder about, because he did pitch this week, saw him pitch, but you're getting these reports, and there really are half-assed reports from the writers. I really expected more of a detailed writers, because I really would have thought that at some point we would have had someone break it down and write out the whole damn 9 yards of it. Because the video that I saw was, it was meh. It really was. It was side view, highlights, that kind of stuff. What I would have liked to have seen is someone explain what did these guys look like. But Nick Anderson pitching, if Nick Anderson comes in and he can pitch like he was pitching at the beginning of the year, that is going to be a huge, huge advantage. But do you trust Nick Anderson? I don't know. I can't even give you an honest answer about that because I haven't seen him in so long. What's his velocity at? More importantly, what's the accuracy? Is he hitting the zone? And he made it sound like several weeks ago when he first went to the IL and they played it out and they said that he was going to be ready by about, I remember the exact date they kept saying, September 14th. We never saw him. We never saw Nick Anderson. But he pitched this week, and maybe they're holding up, and maybe he's an option. If he didn't look great, I don't see them putting him on there. You know, there's another guy out there that we haven't heard much from that had some success early in the year. It's Ben Heller. That's another guy. And then there's the other obvious option that you could carry Bryce Elder, and that doesn't mean he starts. That means that he comes in and eats some innings if you get into a blowout. And then once you burn him, then you end up putting him on the IL, which means he won't be available for the NLCS. So all that stuff comes into play. All that stuff comes into play. And when you look at the big picture, I would like to see them have more guys. They're going to have good stuff and go out there for one inning, a specialist, et cetera, than worry about getting guys that are in the bulkings. Because if you go in here with a bunch of guys that can eat bulk innings, what you're really saying is you're kind of expecting the pitching to struggle. Philly's got a pretty good bullpen. I mean, when you look at the fact that they've got Strom, they got Soto, Alvarado, Dominguez, Kimbrel, Hoffman's been pretty good, and then they've got this Orion kid that we saw him pitch the other night. I'm still very interested to see how that kid plays in the postseason, because that kid in the postseason to me is going to be, if they put him in the postseason in a big spot, and realize when they put him in the spot the other night, it's a blowout versus Miami, who has a very weak offense. I don't think they were really that concerned, because if he started giving up hit after hit after hit, they were going to go get him. So do they trust Orion, who can get it up there mid-90s? I saw earlier in the year we actually touched 97, but he's typically 95, 96. Right-hander, but he's a kid. And are you willing to put a kid out there? That would be very interesting in itself. I think if they do use him, I really would be shocked to see them use him in Atlanta. I think their game plan would be use him in Philadelphia, where he's a little more comfortable in front of his own fans. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this puppy up, and we are going to make predictions along with a lot of other stuff here on Braves Country Radio. Keep it locked in here on WQEE and get you ready for the weekend, baby, let's go. Kind of fun, and he's kind of fat, the All-American Man. My typical favorite shot, honestly, is just old Jack D, old ice-cold Jack D. But if I'm going to pick like more of like a shooter type of thing, it is the most dangerous one, and I no longer drink it. But man, a good Jaeger bomb.
I was about to say, but I'm probably got some Jaeger.
But friend. I'm going
to
tell you right now, do a Jaeger bomb nowadays, I'm probably going to end up in divorce court. So, because I black out and not only just time travel, I travel. I wake up in other cities.
So, if I remember correctly, you used to like slap your face like Curly, and then you would just do the shuffle step, and then it was gone after that.
Yes.
We went into plan M for McGee.
Yes. All right.
Execute plan M. You know, Tom, Todd, you get the flanks. If anybody's taller than McGee, get him out now.
Oh, yes.
At least that's how I remember it.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember it, and that's kind of the point.
Checkmate.
Armchair.
To further solidify their control, the owners added a reserve clause to the contracts of the five best men on every team. It required that each play only for his current employer and reserved his services for the following year. At first, few complained. To be reserved was to be sure of a job for the coming season. Those who did complain that the reserve clause smacked of slavery, fired, then blacklisted. For the first time in the history of the game, players would serve the interests of the owner. For the next 100 years, the professional game would be dominated by those who owned the field and supplied the ball.
Please like and subscribe today, youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Well, the season's finally here.
The armchair quarterbacks are... Hey, Braves fans. Mac McGee here with Braves Country Radio. You can find us on youtube.com/@Braves Country. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all postseason long. Hear us right here on the radio or find us on YouTube today. You can jump in the chat with all the Braves fans during the game and listen along as the Braves march through Choptober. That's Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Because he's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
With a cool one in his hand.
Yeah, the armchair
we are back.
He's kind of fun and he's kind of bad. The All-American Man.
And, well, look. When you talk about series prices, I told you earlier, I really like the Baltimore price. I really do like the Baltimore Orioles on their series price, minus 130. I'm going to take Atlanta on the minus 184. It's not necessarily a great payback, but at the same token, it could be worse. There's no way I would take the Dodgers minus 245. There's no value in that. If I did that, then I'm probably parlaying it with like Houston, and you can get a plus 120. I think it's 128, 126, somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'd kind of prefer to stay away from it. But looking at this series, and you look at the way it lays out, if Atlanta doesn't go out and win Game 1 and Game 2, and they lose this series, you're going to start hearing that they're choke artists. I don't believe that's the case. I think this team is a team that's going to show up. They're going to shut everybody up. I think this team is going to hit the hell out of the ball. I think they're going to win Game 1 and Game 2. And I normally would never pick a sweep. Man, I'm tempted. But I need to know who's pitching Game 3 before I would even think about that. Because here's the thing. We get to Game 3 and we're up 2-0 in Philadelphia. First of all, you jump on him early, which is a possibility because Aaron Nola is going to be on the mound. Aaron Nola has not been the Aaron Nola of past. You jump on them early, you can take the wind out of their sails. But if it's Bryce Elder, I'm taking the Braves in 4 games. I don't think this thing goes 5. I've seen a lot of these predictions where everyone believes they're going 5. I think the Atlanta Braves, there's two different things. So They keep talking about Philadelphia with the unfinished business and that they got to the World Series. They didn't get it done. Well, what in the world did the Philadelphia Phillies do in the offseason except for the Trey Turner? But that's got nothing to do. Their biggest question mark wasn't whether or not they could score runs. It was whether or not they could stop the opposition. They could get some starting pitching. They didn't do anything. And you're not convincing me that just 1 year older is going to make all these pitchers that were... They played out of their mind against two. A terrible Cardinals team, an overrated Cardinals team, and a Padres team that never shows up in the big moment. They got up against Houston, and Houston handed them their lunch. So I don't see... I might be seeing this with Atlanta Braves glasses on. I get that. But I do not see any situation where Atlanta doesn't show up. This is not the same. This is not the Braves team I was watching last night. It was 4-for-28 with runners in scoring position in a series. This is a team that can bang. This team had 307 home runs. 307 home runs. You 307 home runs means that you are averaging just under two home runs a game. If we get two home runs a game, Philly's in trouble. The back of our bullpen is gonna show up. I'm not worried about them. The only thing I'm a little concerned with is the health of Free, but they say systems are go. I believe Strider's gonna show out this week. I think he's on a mission, but more than anything else, I believe there are guys on the team from the offensive standpoint that are going to. So you talk about Philly being unfinished business. I think the Braves are for a reckoning. It's not necessarily a revenge. It's a reckoning because they won the World Series in 2021. Yet all anybody wants to talk about in the national media is how good Philadelphia is. And how Philly is the team to beat. And the Braves better watch out for Philly. No. The Phillies better watch out for the Braves. There's a difference. There's a big damn difference. And if they don't do it, this series, and get to the NLCS, man, it's going to be a long offseason. For a lot of people. And the first person everyone's going to point their finger to, yeah, they're going to get mad at Snicker. Yeah, they're going to be disappointed in the offense if a pitcher has a bad out. But the person they're going to point their finger to, number one with the bullet, is Anthopoulos, why were you not more aggressive at the deadline for our pitching? Because now we're coming in limping in. I believe that there's a path for us to get there. But... you can make a fair argument. The fan that says he should have done something, I can't sit here and say that fan's a fool. Because you're damn right he should have done something. But I'm going to take the Braves to win this in four games. Just because from what I've seen from Spencer Strider versus the Philadelphia Philly offense, I'm not saying it's a gimme, but we ought to win those two games. Which means we just got to find one other W, and I believe Max Fried's going to pitch well on Monday. He's got that bulldog mentality. I believe it's going to be a low-scoring game that's going to get late in the game, and the Braves will be the ones that will come out on top because they'll bang the hell out of that bullpen, and that'll be the difference in the series. And... so NLDS pick to click, meaning the entire series. Who's gonna be the guy that wins the MVP for the NLDS? I don't have a lot to base this off of, but I'll tell you who I'm going with. Because there's certain things that this guy does that shows that he's a leader. And he seems like the guy that's going to show up in the big moment. He hustles out the box. He hits hard. He plays great defense. Ozzie Albies is my pick to click to be the NLDS MVP. I almost took Ozuna. But because of his base running ability and the fact that he plays the field, Ozzie Albies has a little bit of a heads up, of a leg up on that. Does not mean that I believe that Acuna and Olsen, Riley, and all those boys aren't going to do some things. But Ozzie was starting to heat up. Let's just hope that he can keep that going. Because that could be a very, very fun ride. All right, we're coming up here at the top of the hour. Make sure to keep it locked in here on WQEE as TGI Friday, baby. We'll see you tomorrow on the kickoff show, 9:30 to noon, 10 to noon here on WQEE. We get going at 9:30 on YouTube with Old Man Radio, and then the Armchair Quarterback kickoff show kicks on. We'll see you mañana.
It's Friday, working stiffs. Everybody!
4, 3, 2, 1, happy weekend!
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Here are your lines for the series in Major League Baseball heading into the ALDS and the NLDS, all of them, game one on Saturday. 1 o'clock Eastern, FS1. You've got the Texas Rangers versus the Baltimore Orioles. Orioles, -145 on the money line. The over-under is 8. At 4:45 on FS1, Justin Verlander will be on the bump for the Houston Astros. Astros, -155, the over-under 8. Phillies and Braves, the big one, TBS. 6 Eastern and right here on Braves Country Radio. You can catch pitch by pitch, play by play, Braves Country Radio. Find us today, youtube.com/@Braves Country. Atlanta -205 on the money line, the over under 8.5. We won't know the starters for sure until tomorrow, but expect Spencer Strider game 1, Max Fried in game 2. And at 9:20 Eastern on TBS, the final game of the evening. Dodgers are at home against the Diamondbacks. Clayton Kershaw will go to the mound for LA. They are -205 on the money line. The over-under is 8. Real quick on the college football scoreboard as we look forward to a fun day on Saturday. Make sure to catch the Armchair Quarterback kickoff show, 9:30 Eastern, right here on Braves Country Radio. It all gets going noon Eastern. The Red River Rivalry, number 3, Texas hosts number 12, Oklahoma. Longhorns, -5.5, the over-under 61. Maryland is at number 4, Ohio State. Buckeyes, 19.5-point favorites, over-under 57. LSU, number 23 in the land, They are a 5.5-point favorite at undefeated Missouri. That game can be seen on ESPN at noon Eastern. The over-under, 64.5. Number 5, Florida State Seminoles. 3:30 Eastern, ABC. They'll host the Virginia Tech Hokies. The Noles, 22.5-point favorites, over-under 53. The SEC on CBS sees number 11 Alabama, a 2-point favorite at Texas A&M. The over-under 46. Number 14, North Carolina hosts Syracuse, who's 4-1. North Carolina, 9.5-point favorites, the over-under 59.5. And the number 1 Georgia Bulldogs hunker down in between the hedges. They'll face the number 20 Wildcats of Kentucky. Kentucky coming off a big W against the Florida Gators. The Wildcats are getting 14.5, the over-under 47.5. Number 10 Notre Dame is at number 25 Louisville. That game is the ABC Saturday night game of the night. The Fighting Irish, -6.5, over-under 54. Number 2 Michigan on Peacock Saturday night. They're giving up 18.5 on the road at Minnesota. Number 16 Ole Miss, 11.5-point favorites at home against the Arkansas Razorbacks. The number is 62.5. Undefeated, untested Miami Hurricanes at home, 8 o'clock Eastern on the ACC Network. The Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech, the over-under 57.5. Number 9, Southern Cal is at home against Arizona. 10:30 kickoff, ESPN. They're a 3-touchdown favorite. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.